This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't be beat!
We can't be beat!
Won't be beat!
What's happening?
Game time!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great Mike Florio. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? It's Friday, which is always a great day, even though every day is Friday for me because I don't really have a job.
But I would imagine you're still embittered about the tournament with West Virginia getting slighted and being kept out of the field.
And then losing their coach.
It would be very easy for me to say that in protest of West Virginia being omitted from the field, I vow to watch no games whatsoever of the tournament this year, but I wasn't going to watch any anyway. I probably would have guilt-watched West Virginia if they'd made it. It actually saved me 2 hours of my life because they would have lost, and then we'd be in the same spot we're in anyway. So, yeah, I used to be a huge basketball fan. I started off as a huge baseball fan. As I've spent more and more time focused only on football, I don't have any interest in any other sports at this point in my life. And it's sad, but it's true.
Your indifference will probably prevent West Virginia from looking much further into why they lost their coach and how they lost him.
That's true. But you know why? You know why and how? Because of money. Yeah. And it's all driven by money. At least the players are finally getting some of that money, and they're the ones who get to jump from team to team willy-nilly. I used to get so mad when they would preach loyalty from the players as the coaches hopscotched around the entire industry, always looking for the better and better job that's out there. So at least the players now have that same power.
All right, Mike. So the Bears, they lost Tevin Jenkins, the guard signed with the Cleveland Browns. When he went and visited Seattle and they didn't sign him, knowing how Seattle needs offensive linemen, I didn't think it was going to be a great offseason for Tevin Jenkins, and the very fact that no details of his contract have been leaked would indicate to me that he signed with Cleveland. He didn't really get paid much for Cleveland.
There's a 24-hour rule as it relates to the reporting on new contracts, and basically if the details aren't leaked in the first 24 hours, they're not worth bragging about, and there's no way to even package them as anything positive. And we're in that phase of free agency now. 10 days, 9 days, 11 days, depending upon when it actually started. Guys are taking whatever they can get, and it's usually a shorter-term deal that allows them another bite at the apple next year. The one difference this year, there seem to be a lot of guys taking one-year deals right away. instead of letting it all play out, jumping on that 1 year deal like Hassan Reddick did with the Buccaneers. But a lot of examples like that, usually those deals come later. They flooded the market early. The short term, I'll take what I can get and I'll try it again next year. That's what a lot of guys end up doing in free agency when they don't get the kind of financial offer they thought they were going to get when they finally hit the market.
Mike, I have to say, one of the more intriguing statistics I saw this week, I did not expect to read, but there were like 490 fewer plays from scrimmage run last season than in the previous year. And I wonder, is that related to teams ran the ball more effectively than they had maybe in some time? Is it because the clock is inconsistently, you know, continue, they don't stop it in certain times in the last 2 minutes of halves and games? How do you explain what that means?
The easiest is that rushing was up nearly 4,000 yards league-wide. So the more running plays you have, the more plays where the clock keeps running from the moment the guy hits the ground. Incomplete pass, obviously it stops. And with plays out of bounds, I remember when I first discovered football 50 years ago, if it went out of bounds, the clock stopped and it stayed stopped until it was time to start the next play. They got away from that in their effort to shrink games into a three-hour package. So now the clock runs again once the official does the windmill rewind, start the clock deal. And one thing that's been noticed is there is a gross inconsistency on how much time elapses before they crank the clock again. And the sooner they start the clock, the more time elapses before the next snap. It's closer and closer to simulating a running play that lands inbounds if there's a play that lands out of bounds, whether it's a catch or a run. So that's part of it too. And this is all out there as part of the justification for the proposal by the Eagles that I think has a lot of support to have the regular season overtime rules match the postseason and to expand the regular season overtime to 15 minutes from 10. So both teams are guaranteed a possession. So you'll have extra snaps. And the Eagles believe, I'm told, it'll be 30 total snaps per year. If a team scores a touchdown on the opening drive of overtime, the other team gets an opportunity to match it. It's not going to happen often. And like I said, the Eagles believe it's going to work out to 30 extra league-wide scrimmage plays per year.
Interesting, Mike. Do you like any of the other rules that are being proposed? We've heard, I think, the intriguing one from the perspective here in the Midwest might be the idea that the Detroit Lions are talking about kind of erasing anything other than wins and losses when it comes to seeding the playoffs.
And the Lions have a couple of proposals. They've proposed getting rid of the automatic first down for defensive holding or illegal contact, which I think is a mistake because it will create unintended consequences. There will be more defensive holding and illegal contact if you take away that deterrence.
Right.
And then there'll be a lot of those fouls that just aren't called because the officials aren't going to throw a flag every time it happens. It basically overpowers the system like the Seahawks did in 2013. Just do it all the time. They're not going to flag it all the time, and you can get away with it. I think that's what would happen if you take away the automatic first down. As it relates to the playoff seeding, it minimizes the value of winning a division. And I think if you would ever go down this path of saying you determine your seven playoff teams in the usual way, but then you seed them without regard to division champion, I think they would need to reconfigure the scheduling formula so there would be more conference games. I think there needs to be more games played among the teams that are actually jockeying for position on that playoff tree if we're going to make record the only thing that determines where your spot is on that tree, or at least there's a dividing line between winning a division and not. So I think it leads to a broader conversation that I believe needs to be had. The NFL has a scheduling formula that is driven by variety. They want every team to be guaranteed to play every other team every 4 years. They want every fan to be able to see every team in the NFL once every 8 years. I think it creates inequities in this rotation, and some seasons you'll have a division that gets a great draw as it relates to the teams from other divisions that'll be playing that year, like the NFC North did last year. They got a great draw with the AFC South and the NFC West which was down last year. This year, the NFC West gets the AFC South and the NFC South. I don't like that part of it. If you're going to say, we're going to compare all these teams from the same conference, why not play every team in the conference? It's a better indicator of who the best team in the conference is if 15 of your games are against the other teams in your conference, if what the Lions have proposed comes to fruition.
Mike, now it's being reported or speculated that Aaron Rodgers is just on pause. He's really just on pause, and the offseason is just kind of waiting for him to make up his mind. Vikings seem to be moving on, maybe, probably. But what happens with the Giants and the Steelers? Russell Wilson is being held up. Joe Flacco being held up. What's going on in the world of Aaron Rodgers?
It's been a crazy month because 4 weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers was teetering on the edge of irrelevance to the point where during Combine Week, one of the most intriguing stories I heard other than the insider confrontation at the Starbucks at the JW Marriott was that Rodgers had reached out to the Giants. And if you reach out to the Giants, you really got nothing going on because you're looking for a contender. Everybody knows the Giants aren't that right now. But then came the Steelers when it was clear they were lowballing Justin Fields to the point where he was going to go to the Jets. And as it looked like the Steelers and Rodgers might do something, then came the Vikings with Sam Darnold leaving, with Daniel Jones leaving, with Nick Mullins leaving, no veteran quarterback, and this lingering sense that maybe the Vikings are willing to go in a different direction from J.J. McCarthy. And I think the end result is this. The Vikings are going to let McCarthy prove himself or not in the offseason program. And Rodgers is just going to lurk. And the presence of Rodgers is the stick on, carrot and stick. It's the stick on McCarthy to get him to do what needs to be done, to check the boxes so they believe they can trust him with that job. I think Rodgers is betting the under on McCarthy. I think that's the real story here. I think Rodgers thinks that when the offseason program hay is in the barn, to consider the continue the agricultural metaphors, I think that Rodgers believes the Vikings are going to say, wait a minute. We got a guy that's never played and that we're still not 100% sure he's the guy. And we have this other guy who every time he throws the football, it makes a sound we've never heard before. Maybe we should go with that guy for a year. Now, I don't support it. And I'm reserving the right to renounce my Vikings affinity that goes back to 1973. Fly, Eagles, fly may be my chant for 2025.
Wow.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
But
wow.
I think they might circle back to Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, that would be something.
And remember, they didn't sign Brett Favre until August 18 of 2009.
Wow. I did not realize that.
No, I didn't.
Nor did I remember it. That's be a fascinating offseason for J.J. McCarthy to have that possibility hovering over everything he does.
Remember when they were going to sign Favre? I'm sorry to interrupt. Remember, I've had extra coffee today. They said there was a schism in Minnesota between the guys who were behind Tavares Jackson and the guys who were behind Brett Favre. I don't know why that made the confetti fall. But the schism lasted until Brett Favre set foot on the practice field and threw one pass. Schism over.
Pants on the ground. Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio.
That would be wild.
I remember the pants on the ground thing as much as anything with Favre in Minnesota.
Know.
Remember, there was some goofy song.
I do remember now. That's interesting. That would be unfortunate for J.J. McCarthy. If you're going to commit to him, commit to him. If you're going to commit to him, go out and get a backup quarterback that doesn't feel like it's a threat to his consistency. Go sign Joe Flacco. Go get somebody like that. If you're moving on from Aaron Rodgers, move on. If you're not trusting J.J. McCarthy, do it now. Show it now. Waiting until training camp after the offseason portion of the stuff, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I don't think that sounds like Kevin O'Connell either.
No, it doesn't. But it'll be curious to see what they do because they have kind of left their – they're playing their cards tight to the vest and they've left their options open. We should let you know the transitions on 670 The Score are brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. We will be right back with our colleagues, Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. We'll talk to them next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Pants on the ground! Pants on the ground!